Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/Watson Assistant.
Yo, what's up? Sedano with you here on 710 ESPN, presented by Progressive Insurance. Don't forget, check out our friend Mina Kimes in the ESPN Daily podcast, brought to you by Marathon, with one of hundreds of ESPN's reporters.
Guess who her guest was today?
Was it you, Ramona Shelburne?
It was me. Although, I mean, we taped it yesterday, but it posted today.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. And I don't actually know what's in it, because when you tape the daily, you tape it like, it's usually like an hour, like 45 minutes to an hour, but then they cut it down to like 20 minutes or so. So I made a really fun traffic analogy in terms of how we should think about the NBA coming back, but I don't know if it actually made it, because I haven't listened to it yet, but I did retweet it.
Right. Cool.
Yeah. To me, it's the traffic analogy is a good one, right? You know how I'm like, I'm usually kind of late, right? I like run late. I'm always scrambling, juggling 12 things, and I'll be right there. I'm always sending a text message, being like, I'm sending minute by minute updates of like when I'll be in, right? Leaving the studio now, walking across the plaza, be right there, right, Greg? You know all about that. As I'm coming from like one show to try to frantically make the start of Mason in Ireland after Around the Horn or something. But I think it's kind of like when you're dealing with traffic in LA, you sort of have to build in like that 20-minute cushion, right?
Yeah.
Like if it takes you a half hour to get somewhere, you should probably leave at least 45, probably more like 50, almost an hour, if you really want to be safe, right? So if you don't build in that cushion, you don't have the right to complain about traffic, right? Like, you can't use traffic as an excuse.
Yeah, you need the buffer.
Yeah, if you don't build in the buffer. So I think that's how you have to think about the NBA season is, okay, we're saying late July, first week of August, right? But we need to have a buffer of something's going to go wrong. Like, you're going to have an outbreak on a team. You're going to have one team that's going to need to quarantine. You're going to have some staffers. You're going to have players, whatever it is. You have to kind of assume there's going to be some setbacks. So don't build your schedule so tight that you don't have that buffer there. Because you have to, like, let's just assume that there's going to be a two-week delay at some point, right? Let's just assume that there's going to be stuff that goes wrong. And so if you assume that something's going to happen and that we can't predict what it is, but we can predict something will happen, then I think you kind of have to do your timeline as such, right? And that means that you can only have a certain amount of regular season games and or play in and or playoffs.
Right, for sure. Yeah, I think that, look, I think you have to build in the buffer, to your point, and I think that there's going to be some challenges.
Yeah.
But there are people that are, and Greg has the tweets from our buddy Charles Freeman, who tweets into the show. What does he say, Greg, about what we were just discussing?
He says that, are you really sure that after being cooped up for several months, people are really going to stay in this summer to watch games on TV in record numbers? I might be wrong, but I really don't see that happening. Thoughts?
I would say this. I would say that there are going to be people that are going to rush out to be out and do stuff. But I think that the majority of people, at least based off personal experience and conversations, based on, polling data. And I know that we can discuss whether how accurate that is. But I think that many things have changed over the last several years when it comes to polling data. I think that more people will be more cautious in that approach. Not everyone, and everyone's entitled to their opinion. I'm not trying to force anyone to do something that they don't want to do, or vice versa. But I do think that, let's face it, if the games are still scheduled to air in their normal time slots, let's say the majority of these games will air in the evening, I don't think that people are going to shy away from watching sports when they haven't seen sports. I do think there will still be record numbers. What do you think, Momo?
I think it'll be record numbers, but it's less about, you've been cooped up for 3 months. Cause you have to remember, like, during summertime, it's kind of hot out during the day. Like, even though you might want to go out, like, I don't know, it's pretty hot most of the places in the country. Like, you're not going to necessarily want to go out for, 3 hours every single afternoon. You're going to stay indoors. So if you're going to stay indoors and there's not daytime TV on, Or, you know, you'd write their sports on instead of, you know, the typical soap opera. It's like, I think there's going to be good viewers. I don't think people are going to be going on family vacations as much as you think.
That's true,
right?
Too. Yeah.
Right. So usually you worry about the family vacation element of this, but I don't think we're doing that this year. Maybe some people at Lake of the Ozarks are or something, but you know, I don't know if you saw that viral.
Yes,
video.
I did see that video. Yeah.
You know, I do think there is going to be a lot of that. What I'm more worried about is that there's going to be so much programming, so much like a glut of programming that it will kind of like take away the specialness. Like that's why Last Dance was so good. There were two episodes every Sunday. You didn't just binge it all at once. Like people had to come back every single Friday, every single Sunday night.
Yeah.
And you only got two. If you would have given them the whole 10 episode doc right away,
yeah,
it wouldn't have been the same kind of event. It wouldn't have built on itself.
Right. They created an event there. Speaking of an event, we'll find out when the NBA draft is going to take place. But one of the Lakers' rivals is what I tweeted, is looking to wheel and deal. And it's been reported that the Warriors, if they get the number one pick, that Bob Myers would consider wheeling and dealing because of the window of his roster. And I don't know how I feel about that. I guess the windows are always shorter than we think. And if you can get someone on the market that can really help you, I get it. I just think I would make the pick if you're going to get the number one pick. And I think that pick will still have value even if the rookie only plays one season. Unless there's a catastrophic injury, like I still feel like that is a valuable commodity if you're going to trade for someone to add to the Warriors roster. But what are you hearing about Bob Myers' interest in wheeling and dealing and just kind of adding another veteran to his particular roster?
Well, I've always thought the Warriors should do that, and I've always thought they will do that because their core of players is like late 20s now, like
early 30s,
and
right.
Early, yeah. 30s.
Yeah.
So like drafting somebody number one overall, like unless this is a college senior or somebody that you feel can step right in and help you, it's kind of doesn't make sense for that team. Mm-hmm. Like it just, right. That team is Steph Curry, Draymond Green, Klay Thompson, all in their late 20s, early 30s. Their window to win is like 3 more years, right? Like they probably have, and you know, 3 to 4 more seasons max with that group. So like those 3 to 4 seasons are when you're developing that number one pick. I don't know, maybe the, you know, that's actually good timing because it helps you reload. Maybe you build somebody and hope they can take over for them, or they become you draft somebody, develop them enough, get people excited that you can trade them later. I thought they were going to trade the pick before they ever had to make it, but now I don't think they're going to be able to. I just think that this year is so messed up. Like, we might even have the free agency before the draft this year. Just
right.
You know, this, if there was ever a year to do that, it would be this year.
And I think they should do that moving forward, to be honest.
Me too.
With you.
I've always thought that. Yeah.
Like the NFL gets it right.
Yep. You have free agency first, then the draft. So I wonder if that draft pick to me is worth even less after free agency when you see what happens, right? It's not seen as a strong draft. It's definitely not seen as a strong draft at the top of the draft class. Like there's not a huge advantage to having the number one pick this year versus
as opposed to even the fifth pick. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So here's what I would say to you though, Momo, because there's always a surprise here or there, right?
Yeah.
If you end up getting one of those, you know, the Warriors are going to end up with a top, you know, 4 or 5 pick, right?
Yeah.
Like that seems fairly obvious at this point, just based on the numbers and the math. What if you pick that one guy that's got real promise, like, and you let him play and show that promise a little bit, and you can build up a little equity there? Like, I just think that I think that it's smart for them to trade for a veteran. I just don't think that you should dismiss the idea of holding on to the pick for a little while, right?
I agree.
And playing the guy and seeing what he's got, because everyone looks at potential differently. And I think that once you see it kind of manifest itself on the court a little bit, I think you could potentially get a better return if you're the Warriors.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's with this year, particularly with, you have to look at that number one pick. Usually it's kind of like cars, right? The second you drive the car off the lot, it's not worth as much. Well, it's almost the opposite in this. It's the second you drive it off the lot and ever you've fallen in love with that pick and it's worth more to you. Right. Mm-hmm. Usually, like once you draft a guy, you've committed to him and you don't want to ever trade him. Like the second before you make the pick, it's theoretical. But once you make it, now you're tied to that pick. Right. Now you're excited about that guy. I think this might be, the lowest point in terms of the value of that number one pick. Like once, like nobody is excited about the three or four guys that are mentioned as number one picks. Like this.
Yeah, sorry, LeVar.
Yeah. I mean, it's not that LaMelo is a bad player. It's just that there's a lot of question marks, right? Anthony Edwards from Georgia is another one, right? James Wiseman. Anthony Edwards had a pretty decent year. James Wiseman played like, what, 5 or 6 games? He barely played before he got suspended and then just took his ball and went home and said, I'm done. There's just not a lot of excitement or certainty with any of the guys at the top of this draft board. So to me, like, this is not the time to sell, to trade, right? You don't want to trade low.
Right. Agreed. And I think that's kind of the deal. Yeah. But yeah, it is interesting to see because I think, I don't know about you. Yeah. Like I'm not Clay who says that, you know, everyone's writing us off and the dynasty's over. They're crazy. Like, I don't know if I'd go that far, but I think they're definitely in the championship mix if they're healthy. And especially if they're able to trade for the right veteran, then, you know, God forbid, like they can be right back in that fold. Like I'm not where Clay is, where I'm like, it's definitely still the dynasty is still on. But I'm not in the camp of them dismissing them completely at this point.
Yeah. I was like sort of that Warriors. I was this going into this year, even I was like, don't count them out. Right. They have the revenge factor. They had Steph, they had Draymond. And I was assuming Clay would be back after the All-Star break like that could get interesting. Right. And then, of course, like all the wheels fell off. And until I saw them up close, I didn't realize how different they looked. Like I didn't recognize any of the guys on that team. I was like, who are these guys? Like, where's Shaun Livingston? Where's Iguodala? Where's like the strength and numbers quality of the Warriors? Like, I think we underappreciated that at the time because we were always focused on Steph and the other stars on that team. But that team has a long way to go. They lost all of their depth.
Did you see the story? Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead. Finish up.
No, it's okay.
I was going to say, did you see the story about Matt Barnes and that last championship team? Like the story about his ring? He said on his All the Smoke podcast with him and Steven Jackson that he hasn't picked up his ring. His ring is still in the PR office of the Warriors PR.
Wow.
Because he said, like, basically what he's saying was, you know, he came in, you know, mid-season. Uh-huh. You know, he got some run when KD got hurt.
Yeah.
Then he got hurt right before the playoffs and didn't play very much. He played a total of like 60 minutes in the playoffs. He felt like he didn't deserve it. Like, we all know Matt a little bit. Yeah. I'm not surprised that he would take that tack. But man, like that, I don't know if I would be able to pull that off. Like, I don't know if internally I would be able to say to myself, nah, I wouldn't want that ring. Like, I would probably still want it.
That's interesting that he said. I mean, I get it because usually, there's a thing where you feel invested in something, right? Like there's a lot of stuff you and I do that it's a one-off, right? Like you just, you invest a lot in something that you're going to be doing every day. That's going to be something that you're a part of for a while. Like, you know, you have your own radio show, right? So you're going to put a lot of effort and time into that and making it good. My stories have my byline on it. It's what I do. It's, you know, something I care about, right? And then sometimes you're like, you do a show, like I've done 2 or 3 things at ESPN where it was a project. We were going to like tape one show. It was like a pilot basically. Right. And I was pretty sure it was never going to turn into anything more. This is literally just a one-off, you do a good job with it and you show up and everything, you make it good. And you try to give your best effort. You don't want to be bad because that's still your name on it. But there's this, you kind of know when something's going to be lasting, whether you're like really connected to it. And like
yeah,
that,
for sure.
That matters. So I guess for Matt, like, you know, he's right. He really wasn't that much a part of the team. I remember covering them during the finals and like, I don't think he was ever fully absorbed into that team. I don't think he came late. He was hurt. He didn't contribute as much as he would have wanted to. He didn't play that much in the finals. I know he was bummed about that. So like, he probably just didn't feel like connected.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. So I mean, yeah, I get it. I get it. I just don't know if I would be that
strong-willed. Yeah.
Yeah. It'd be like, yeah, I'll take the ring.
So
yeah,
here's a question. When have you been at LA Live when they brought around the Stanley Cup? Were you here?
Yeah, I was there the day that it happened. Yeah.
Did you go take pictures with it? Did you like
pose? I took one. I did take one.
I took like one.
Yeah.
But I wasn't like all about the cup. And
right. It wasn't my first time seeing the cup, though. So right. I think there's that.
Yeah, it was. I think it was my first time. And I actually was at the Kings when I was there when the Kings won it.
Right.
I was at that game where they finished it off. And I think I covered I wrote a couple of stories. It was a big deal in L.A. We still had ESPN Los Angeles. I kind of jumped in at the end there and wrote, something on Bob Miller or something on the Kings. And I wrote something that night. And I was a total bandwagoner, right? Like, I literally showed up just for the Stanley Cup Finals.
All the beat writers are like, what is she doing here?
Yeah, totally. And it was, like, very embarrassing. I felt bad about it, right? Like, I was like, hi, I'm just jumping on the bandwagon at the optimal time, right?
Right.
Bob Miller was very nice about it, right? he understood. But it was, like, we were doing all these at the station at 710, like, we really got on board the Kings run. Like, we were constantly doing, updates. We had Dave Joseph at the time, and he would be our hockey guy. And like, I mean, I was to the point where like, I actually could talk a little hockey. Like, I knew the names of the players at that point. I kind of knew how
they
were doing.
You could talk the puck, eh?
Yeah. Yeah. A few storylines, I kind of could go out there. I mean, I would definitely embarrass myself if I tried to have a real conversation.
Yeah.
But like, I could fake it for a little bit. I could fake it.
I hear you. We do it on Around the Horn all the time.
Yeah. All the time. Yeah. Normally, I just call Emily Kaplan and be like, hey, what should I say about this hockey topic?
And
then I try not to mispronounce anything bad. I really embarrassed myself one time. We were talking about the
Save it. Save that story for the other side. I want to hear the embarrassing story. Plus, Bergman found some breaking news in Major League Baseball. We'll have that for you on the other side. And Momo's going to give us the lowdown on the NBA and what are the issues at hand, how much closer we are. Stick around. We're back in less than 2 minutes. Sedano with you here on 710 ESPN. Mama Momo hanging out today. She does every Wednesday, presented by Progressive Insurance. Insurance for motorcycles, boats, RVs. Protection for the road and, of course, on the water. See how much you can save in as little as 3 minutes by calling 1-800-PROGRESSIVE. Or going to progressive.com. So there are a couple of things I want to get to. Your embarrassing story from hockey, Momo. We'll get to that in a second. I don't know about you, but we had a funny conversation about all of us just getting old, basically, during the break.
Yeah.
And I want to have that. But I drink a lot of water, right? I don't drink soda very much anymore. Like, honestly, the only time I drink soda is like ginger ale on a plane, and it's usually because I get motion sickness, and for whatever reason, maybe it's the old wives' tale that helps, but it helps me.
Yeah, it's a thing. Yeah.
But what I do like to drink is, do you drink sparkling ice water?
Sometimes, yeah.
Sparkling water?
Are you a LaCroix guy?
No, not LaCroix. Sparkling ice is better because it tastes better. LaCroix tastes like crap. It just tastes like bubbled with a hint of lime or whatever it is.
Yeah.
Sparkling ice water tastes like whatever it is it says on the bottle. For example, I'm drinking sparkling ice orange mango. And it tastes like orange mango. And I'll tell you
really
what, every once in a while, I need some variety. You know what I mean? It's the spice of life. And I love me water, H2O, like Bobby Boucher in that movie, the Adam Sandler movie, right? But good Lord, every once in a while, I need to throw a little curveball. So these sparkling ice waters, I've been drinking them for months. It is the best thing that ever happened to me.
Yeah, they're really good. Those are really good. How much sugar's in those? Is that
not much? Actually, it's only like 5 calories, and it says it says no sugar actually.
So it's kind of like they're probably what's the sweetener in it? Is it like stevia?
It's natural something. I can't read it because for whatever reason, it's just.
It's
kind of small. Yeah.
And I love when it says natural flavors. You're like, what's that mean?
Yeah. It says with antioxidants and vitamins, zero sugar, naturally flavored sparkling water. So, yeah, all I'm saying, like, I don't get paid to say any of this, but everyone should try it. Like, that's all
I'm
saying.
No, it's really good. Sparkling ice, really. You know who you sound like? Kevin Durant. Like, I think he advertised for that.
Really?
Because he's like, yeah, man, I just really like the sparkling ice.
It just tastes good.
Let me see if I can find that story. I remember him. he was like, yeah, man, I just thought that was really good.
Yeah, so it tastes good. You know, all right, so what's your
company?
Your embarrassing hockey. I should invest. Get me in touch with Rich Kleiman. So what is your embarrassing hockey story? Finish that off.
Okay. What is the name of the trophy that the goaltender wins, the best goaltender wins?
Oh, Conn Smythe, I want to say.
It starts with a V.
The Vezina.
Okay. So I was on Around the Horn, and we were talking. I was trying to say something smart about the goalie. Like, I have no idea who I was talking about. It was literally like, they force us to do some hockey topics. And I'm like, you know, you're just setting me up for a potentially bad moment here. I will try. But for me to have any kind of a hot take, and it's usually like on a day when they have like, you know, the Capitals are on because the producers of Around the Horn are from D.C., right?
So right.
Capitals, right? Yeah. So I was going to do the like total cop out and just talk about the hot goalie in the series. Like, oh, this guy, you know, he's the favorite to win the.
He's standing on his head.
Yeah. I mean, I mangled that award, the name of that award, so name. Badly. Yeah. I think I was like, it's the Vezina. The Vezina Award. And I said it, and the second it left my mouth, I was like, I don't think that was right.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think that was right. I mean, I was just trying to get the guy's name right. But, like, I mean, he's the favorite to win the Vezina Award.
Oh, for the love.
And everybody looked at me like, and I kind of knew it was wrong. But we got to the end of it. I go, that's not the right name of that, was that? And they go, no. And I go, should we redo it? And they were like, no, it's good. No, don't worry. You're fine. And then, of course, like
social media killed you.
Hockey fan. Oh, yeah. They just destroyed me. Yeah. And I was like, what do you people want? I'm sorry. I tried. At least I said the goalie's name right. It was a hard to pronounce foreign name or something. And I got it. Sorry. Got the name of the award wrong.
Yeah.
It could be Vezina.
Yeah. It'll happen. It happens. Yeah. And that show gets very popular in the Northeast and on the East Coast. Yeah. And that's where all those hockey teams are. Yeah. Yeah, it's tough. I hear you. We were just talking about getting old, though, before I move on to what Greg Bergman found and the breaking baseball news. Getting old sucks. Like, it just does, man.
I know,
like,
dude.
Bergman was talking about having to go to the bathroom more. I felt like
not going to the bathroom. It's not going to the bathroom. I wake up, I drink water,
Greg,
and I go back to bed.
Greg, just embrace it. It's going to happen. Okay.
Eventually, George, but I'm not at that point yet. All right.
Poor Greg, man.
Sure.
I'm literally talking about my sciatica on air. How embarrassing is that? Like,
I mean, listen.
Like, I feel like I'm 90 years old.
Getting old
my
sciatica sucks. Yeah, my sciatica is killing me. Yeah, it's just that's the way it goes. I've been there. I've had back injuries. Like, it sucks. But Greg, going to the bathroom more as a man, that's a rite of passage, man. Just be ready for it.
Right, I get it. Like, it's going to happen at some point. I just wake up and I have water next to me and I have to have it.
I get up every single night somewhere between 2 and 4 in the morning. It happens every single night now. Like, it happened a couple years ago. It just happened one day to the next, and that's just it. Yeah. And I'm just happy that I can get to the later I get, the better I feel like. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I've just been waking up a lot. And I don't know what. And then you wake up, and when you have a sciatica thing, it's like you wake up and now you feel it all of a sudden because it's been like stiff all night. And you're like, oh God, am I sciatica?
Yeah.
Right? Like, I'm just this old lady walking around. And it's like 3 in the morning, and Nevin's like, are you okay? I'm like, yeah, it's just my sciatica. I mean, it's very embarrassing.
And look, women, you guys have a lot more to deal with than men. I don't think there's any question about that. Like,
I'm working out so hard, though, George. Like, I'm telling you, I'm fighting the power. Every night I do the beach body workouts, right? I do the, you know,
nice.
The online, right?
Yeah.
So I'm doing my bar blend. I mean, you should see me. I'm doing ballet with my hip. Last night was booty day.
Okay.
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 I'm working on my core.
Are you doing like Uncle Luke? Is there like Uncle Luke music or something like from back in the day? Two Life
Crew?
So
that would be more fun. I'm doing I'm trying to do bar workouts, which is like basically like ballet, right?
Yeah.
And I'm getting better at it. I mean, I definitely feel like super uncoordinated compared to these like chicks who are doing this who are like pro dancers and stuff. And they try to, and they give you like a card every day. Is every day they have a card that's your motivation. So the first day was like, you know, I am motivated. And then last night was I am well-rounded. And I'm like, oh, that's funny because it's booty day, right? Okay. But we just did so many.
Can we make that a drop? It's booty day. Like, I just need that in my life every day.
It's booty day. There, I gave it to you again. I'm telling you, that is, it's such a good core workout, but I think it's like, it's making the, on the one hand, it's the way you fix your sciatica. On the other hand, it really hurts because you're inflating it as you're working out. So I'm like, man, like I used to just be able to, like, when I would have some kind of injury, like I could kind of treat it myself, right? Like I would just be, oh, okay, I need to do some back strengthening exercise. I need to do some more core work or whatever. And like that for the last like 10 years, I could usually like fix it whenever I would have a low back issue or whatever, right?
Yeah.
And now I'm working out harder than I have like worked out since maybe college.
Right.
And it's not getting better.
Oh.
It's really
Yeah,
just,
it
like,
takes
not.
A while. It takes a, yeah. So my wife and I walk a lot. Like I can't run outside anymore because my knees and ankles can't take the beating of the pavement. As much as well anymore. So I walk a lot. And where we live, I can get to a trail probably within like 3/4 of a mile.
Yeah.
So, and then on the trails, you know, they've been open for a while now again. You know, there's plenty of inclines and like steep stuff. And yeah, look, I mean, there are times like I probably went a little too hard initially.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know how people out there are dealing with their fitness, but I went probably. Man, I want to say I went easily over a month without taking a day off from doing this. Like just walking, even if it was just random walking, like where I, you know, where we live, you know, and where a lot of people live in Southern California, there's a lot of hills, right? It's a lot of steep climbing when you're walking. So I just went like one day I didn't do the Ben Lyons thing where I walked from Beverly Hills to Pasadena, which was like, you know, 20 miles or whatever it is. But I did walk like I started walking like 6-7 miles a day. And like I've built up to the point where now that's normal. Like if I don't walk like at least 5 or 6 miles a day, like I feel like I haven't done anything. So my wife started doing it in the last month or so. I told her, look, when the baby's asleep, just go out for a walk. I'll just deal with Aria and I'll deal with her school stuff and just go. And she's been going. And the other day she's like, man, my hips are starting to hurt a little. I'm like, yeah, because you're getting used to the grind of going up and down these hills all the time. Like, getting old sucks, man. Like, it's just the reality of it. Well, but if you don't do it consistently and you don't figure out how to give your body a little bit of rest when it needs it, then you're going to be in bigger trouble.
Yeah. So I think it's one of those, like, if you just sit home and don't do anything, then you're just going to get older faster.
Correct.
Like, you have to keep fighting against the machine, but you have to do it in a smart way. So I've been swimming a lot now that it's hotter. I'm like, we're going swimming more. And I've been trying to do my bar workouts. I'm doing my yoga, my Pilates. Because
booty day.
Booty day. I'm just trying to fight the power. But I'm not going for like runs on the treadmill anymore. You know, maybe I'll do the elliptical or something. But but I'm telling you, that Beachbody thing is pretty good because it's only 30 minutes. So that's like perfect because I don't really want to do more than that. Like, I'm just like, that's enough.
We never got to the Bergman baseball breaking news, but we may have basketball breaking news.
What?
We have a tweet. A tweet has come out. We will tell you about the tweet. Momo and I will be back. It's booty day.
Yeah. That was last night.
Yeah. There we go, Laura. Good job. It is booty day.
Okay, according to Momo. Laura, you need to pull up Sir Mix-a-Lot. Then that's got to be the next rejoin.
Yeah, the next one. Yeah.
All right, we only got a couple more rejoins, so I need to hear some Sir Mix-a-Lot.
Yeah. So this segment presented by Progressive Insurance here on Booty Day. Ramona Shelburne giving us the straight talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Straight talk. No contract, no compromise. So Bergman, before we get to the NBA stuff. Actually, you know what? Let's do the NBA stuff first. We'll do the basketball or the baseball on the back end. So, Pat Beverly just tweeted, NBA, check ball. What does that mean, Ramona?
I don't know. What check ball? What is that? Check, is that like checkmate?
Like check ball. Like, you know, when you're playing like, you know, in a game half court, you're like, you check ball. Like, let's play.
Oh, okay. Yeah, check. Like when you're playing. Yeah, okay. You'd be like, check, it's your turn. Like, I cleared the line. Right?
Yeah. That's always check ball. Say. Let's do it.
Okay. Yeah, I think that's right. Look, I mean, the one thing that I'm getting now when I talk to anybody associated with players, whether it's a player, an agent, Michelle Roberts, somebody with union, right? They want to play. Like, they are totally stir crazy.
Right.
They want to get in there. They want to play. They're ready to go. Like, it's been, her quote to me the other day was, it's time. It's been 2.5 months of what ifs. We need some certainty now. Let's go. Let's hoop.
So Michelle Roberts said recently that they need some certainty. What does that mean exactly?
She wants details. This idea of the what ifs, like, oh, should we do 16? Should we do playoffs? Should we do playoffs plus? Should we have should we have 24 teams, 20 teams, World Cup? Like, all of these hypotheticals are driving people crazy now. Like, they need to have here's what we're doing. You got to be in camp by June 15th. Let's be in Orlando by July 4th. Like, right after the July 4th holiday, everybody make your way to Orlando. We're going to have a couple scrimmages and let's hoop end of July. Like, they want details. And I know why those details are not coming out yet, which is they're still being talked about with owners, and people are kind of it's like last minute purchases, right? Like, sometimes you just have this like gut check at the end of like, okay, we're going to do 24 teams. So that means six teams are out. Are you six teams? Are you really okay with not playing? Like, you know, I know a couple weeks ago, Steve Kerr said, you know, we're assuming the season's over, but now that really is realistic, like, how do you feel about it? Right? Like, this is just like last minute gut check time. And I think that she's saying to the NBA, okay, it's time though. Like, let's just get over it. Let's like make your final decisions.
Right.
What's the plan? What are we going to do?
Okay. So let's do this. And look, don't aggregate her. I'm telling you right now, we're playing a game. Okay. Yeah. We're just, you know, we're so 30 teams. What, like, if you had to assign a percentage, or if you don't want to do this, tell me, because I don't care.
I'll tell you what I think is going to happen. This is my latest thinking.
Okay.
And this is, if I'm going to make a prediction, go ahead. I'm going to predict it. It's not like I'm reporting it. This is my prediction. All right. I think we're going to have a scenario where we have a limited number of regular season games, because I know players really don't want to go straight to the playoffs. They really want to have some time to get sharp again.
Okay? So that would include all 30 teams?
Not necessarily.
Okay.
Okay. I would guess we're going to have 24 teams. That would be my guess. Like 12 teams in each conference. So six teams. Bye. See you later. See you in December or whenever we're going to be. Okay.
Right.
I think that they play somewhere between 5 and 7 regular season games. And all of those. So those, let's say it's 12 teams per conference. Those teams would all theoretically have a chance to make the playoffs. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you play 5 or 7 games, you get sharp. And then I think that we have a play-in tournament. And it's probably just for you reseed those five, the teams that are 7 to 10 in each, or 7 to 12, whatever it is. And they play a little tournament for the last seeds. Okay. And then I think you have the playoffs. I think it's going to be some version of 5 to 7 regular season games, some kind of a tournament, right? Whether maybe it's not 7 to 12, maybe it's 8 to 12. Okay.
Right.
And I still think we're going to have East and Western Conference. I don't think we're going to go to that 1 to 16. That's too different. It's too weird.
Oh, I want to see 1 through 16 though.
I know you do, but I don't think we're going to do the World Cup. I just think it's going to be some version of like the 3-step plan, some regular season, some tip-ins, some play-ins, and then we go to the playoffs. Because I just think players want to ramp up. It's my opinion, okay? Don't aggregate me. Like, I don't think it's – I'm not reporting this.
Yeah.
But I think that's where I think we're going to land. I would not be shocked if it was 30 teams, because I think there's some buyer's remorse going around right now. Like, Woj and Zach hinted at that in their story, you know, like, as you get toward the end, like, wait, do we really want to go from March to December with no games? Like, do we really want to not see our guys for 9 months? Right? That's what's happening right now among some of the cellar dwellers, you know?
So let me do this with you. Because we, you know, it's a time to experiment. It's time to get crazy, right?
Yeah.
It's also booty day.
Because it's booty day.
Do you, if you're the NBA, reseed after every round? You've never done that before because of travel and this, that, and the other. But do you consider reseeding? Because I think you may have some upsets, considering just the strangeness of all of this.
I think no. And I know Adam Silver likes the idea of experimenting and doing something different. And this is like the perfect opportunity to do that, right? Because of how strange it's going to be. But I just don't think it's fair to the best teams in the league. You know, I mean, do you, if you're right now, if you're the Milwaukee Bucks and you had what you thought was a pretty good shot at the Eastern Conference, why do you want to introduce all this other change and
no, but I get what you're saying. Like, I'm not talking about the reseeding 1 through 16. I'm talking about... In a traditional 1 through 8, right, if there's an upset, you know, like, instead of... Let's say 8-1 were the upset. Let's say somehow the 8 seed in the East upsets the Milwaukee Bucks, right? The Orlando Magic wins somehow, right? Giannis gets hurt, something like that. Shouldn't the 2 seed be allowed to play the 8 seed in that situation? Like, just because they're the next best team?
Yeah, I get it. I like that the WNBA does that. I think it does help ensure that you have the best finals every year, right?
Right.
They do the same thing with, like, East and West, right? That's how they've done things. And I think you have seen the two best teams in the finals every year since they've done it. So that's good. It's just, I don't know. It's like you're changing the rules midstream. Like, I've been one of those people who watches Survivor all the time. Like, I've watched every single season of Survivor, and I love that show. And I, you know, it's really good to me. I always feel so bad for them when you're on one tribe and you've got everything wired and you got your alliances, and then they're like, okay, drop your buffs, we're switching to a new team, and it's going to be a whole different social dynamic. I always think that, like, the whole game is, like, dictated by how things shake out after you change teams, because people could have something wired, but it's become part of the game, right? Of, like, how do you adjust to when we just change everything on you? Okay. So you have to accept that as part of the game now. I don't know. I think we already have a lot of change. We're not going to have home court advantage. That's, like, a huge difference. And I saw Mark Stein tweeted the other day in the Bundesliga, they've had, like, 22 matches with no fans.
Right.
And only three.
And the home teams have struggled. Yeah, I've seen that. Yeah.
I mean, that's, like, this is a really big change. I think that's change enough.
Yeah.
You know, I think it's, I just don't think it's fair to the teams that have worked all year to have that. They've already lost probably the biggest advantage you can have. And now you're going to start taking away other advantages.
I'm going to sell you on, in the next segment, in two minutes, I'm going to sell you on why 1 through 16 should be the way they go. Also, Major League Baseball, it apparently, according to reports, it's not just about the money with Major League Baseball players. And if that's the case, the owners have some explaining to do. We'll get to that in the final segment coming up in just a second. There you go.
There it is.
Booty day. Momo has declared it booty day.
Woohoo!
So,
you know, I actually know all the words to this song.
No way. Wait. All right. Go. I'll finish the read later. Go.
She's wearing. I'm hooked and I can't stop staring. Oh, baby, I want to get with you or take your picture. My homeboys tried to warn me, but that butt you got. I'm not saying that. Booty day.
Ooh, brothers.
You know, I know it.
That was good.
Come on. Don't you know all the words to Vanilla Ice? All the words to Sir Mix-a-Lot? That's like our era, George.
Yeah, for sure. That's, and I also know Rob Bass and DJ Easy Rock. I want to rock.
Yeah. Oh, that's a good one. Yeah, no,
I used to do that at karaoke.
Every single word. I could literally go the entire song by memory, even all these years later.
That's awesome. That's awesome. We're finding out a lot about you today, Momo.
What's your era? Like, is it junior high? Is it, like, early high school years? Like, I think that's generally the time when you're, like, really into pop culture. You're, like, sort
of
discovering it. You know all the words. You, like, listen to every, you know, you bought the cassette tape the second it came out, right?
Yeah. Back then. The single.
Yeah, the single.
Yeah.
Right? So, like, my era was, like, Naughty by Nature. I know all the words to hip hop.
I saw them perform.
You know?
So I went to a Super Bowl in Dallas.
Okay.
And I went to a Super Bowl party at the Hennessy House.
Ooh.
And the Hennessy House was in, like, some mansion in, like, some like, gated community.
Okay.
And the party, I thought it was the strangest thing ever. Like, when I first got there, I'm like, what is happening here? Are we all going to die? The location to meet was some strip mall, like, less than a mile away from the gated community. And they would bus you in and out.
Yep.
So you would be able to park your car there. And we went in, and, like, I thought this was really strange, but then I get there and you were at the Hennessy House in this gated community. And all of a sudden, in the living room, there was a stage, and out of nowhere, we're drinking, right? We're drinking Hennessy.
Right,
and all of a sudden, it's like, let's welcome our special guest, Naughty by Nature! And everybody was like, what?
Oh,
and then
man.
Yeah, and they performed for like half an hour. It was hilarious. It was great.
Very cool. Yeah,
that's it was one like, of the weirdest experiences I've ever had. Yeah. It was great.
So I was like, I was into hip hop, R&B. Like I loved all those groups of like, I guess it would be like my junior high years. So we're talking like early 90s, like early to mid 90s kind of years. And I would go down to Venice Beach and I would buy Cross Colors and I would sometimes I would wear my clothes to the back, like crisscross. Like there were times where I'd like wear my shirt turned around.
Yeah.
Like, I was like that girl. Yeah. I got those shirts.
I love it.
I got like shirts down at Venice Beach that would be like, I'm too sexy for this shirt.
Yeah.
From Right Said Fred. Like I literally wore things like that. And I'm like, why did my parents let me wear that? That's really not appropriate.
They're just like, oh, she's so cute. Let her do it.
So funny. And I'm like, that's not something that I'm going to let my child do.
No, that's
I'm
great.
Too sexy for this shirt.
I want to sell you on the NBA in a second, and we have that baseball story to get to here that Bergman found that the players are not just mad about money; they're mad about other stuff, including safety. So we'll get to that in a second. But one quick story on the Super Bowl. One more quick story.
Right.
So, back in the early 2000s, you know, everyone looks at me now as like an NBA guy, but I covered the NFL actually early in my career. So I covered a lot of Super Bowls early in my career, and I was at a Super Bowl in Houston. Okay, this was the Janet Jackson booby gate thing.
Oh,
okay, that
You've
year
had booty day and booby gate today. Okay,
yeah,
it's good show.
Yeah, exactly. so I went to I was invited to a Master P party, right? And I was on the guest list. I didn't know the guest list was closing at midnight, so I was with two of my friends. One whose dad is like, let's just call him like a guy who's very well off in media, right? Like high level executive in media. And we were at his dad's party, like a media party. And then we were venturing off and somehow or another, it's me and my two buddies, one whose dad was the media mogul. And Jim Gray ended up in our car somehow. And because we were like, we're going to the Master P party, and he's like, he ends up in the car. I don't even know how Jim Gray.
I can't picture Jim Gray at a Master P party. Like that's not
so.
What
get
I
this.
Think of.
So he wants to roll with us. Okay. All so he's rolling. It's like we're like. So this is 2004. Yeah. So I am like 26 years old at that time. And my buddies were all around the same age, mid-20s. And Jim Gray got to be in his 50s at that point, rolling with us, okay? Now, 2004 is still peak Jim Gray. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah,
it's not.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we get to the party. We get to the bouncer, the guy with the list. And I say, hey, here, I'm such and such on the list. I've got a plus +3. And he's like, oh, man, the list is closed. I'm like, oh, come on, man. You can't do anything? He's like, nah, man, I can't help you. So we turn around. We're about to walk away. Somebody grabs my shoulder, and it's the guy. And he's like, are you with Jim Gray? And I'm like, yeah, we're with Jim Gray. And he's like, yo, let these guys in.
Oh, man.
So I got into a Master P party with my friends
because
Jim Gray was randomly hanging out with us that night.
Wow. Like, I'm trying to think who would be the equivalent of Jim Gray, like, right now. Like, oh, I got into the a Master P party because I took so-and-so to the party, because they're, right? Like, who would
be the
equivalent
now? Right, because you can't,
now?
And it would have to be someone you would never picture would be at a Master P party, and Jim Gray would be
like
one
Doris
of those people.
Doris Burke is actually, she's cool. Like, Doris Burke is, like, seen on the, like, Q rating is pretty good. Like, if you she would definitely get you in, but... The reason why that's funny, the Jim Gray story, is because like Jim Gray's not seen as cool. He was just like a guy who did a lot of gets, right? He was like, you know, he was older. I guess he was a hot reporter at the time, but I don't think he was seen as like cool. Oh,
right.
Yeah, it would be Woj, right? Right.
Right. Like, Woj is awesome at what he does, but nobody thinks of him
but
like
a lot
as...
of people know Woj and like Woj would get you in places,
for sure, no question.
Yeah. He's
got that kind of celebrity where it's like, oh, wait, you're with Woj? Yeah, you can come in.
Yeah, you can come in. Totally. He's like that kind of guy because he's so serious. Like, he's always working.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I have actually heard Woj tell jokes. I've
Get out of here.
Woj has made me laugh. He has.
Actually, Woj, when he first came to ESPN, did like a funny bit when I was working on the morning show. Because remember, we were doing that bit, the Eyes Wide Shut bit with LZ's party. And he cut a liner for us about LZ's party, being invited to LZ's party. It was very funny.
Yeah, yes. Like Woj has done some bits with Katie Nolan that are very funny.
Yeah.
Because Katie makes everybody funny. Like, Katie's really, I think she's great. Really funny.
We should get her on next week.
Okay, I'll book Katie for us. That's
yeah,
my girl.
Let's get Katie on and just talk.
Yeah, okay, I'll get her on.
Yeah.
I think it's like Woj is like, but he's seen as like, I work really hard, I'm very serious. Like, you don't.
Yeah.
You could kind of joke with Woj, but like when we had him on our show last week, like it was just kind of straight right, to the point, right? Like we're all business. We were like very serious. Let's go, you know. I like the part where, remember when you and I had to do the very very serious interview and you did your best Bob Lee imitation?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh yeah, that's right. That's right. Yeah. When was that?
Was about it was about Alan Foster.
The stuff with Lonzo, right?
With Lonzo
Ball. Yeah. Yeah.
And
yeah,
I was like,
right.
George, I really can't riff on this. It's a very serious legal story, and I just can't be
and
silly
we did
about it.
We were very
and
outside
you were like,
the line.
So Ramona, you were reporting right now that you're and at the end I was just like, okay, and you were just like, okay, thanks. Talk to you later, Momo. Like,
yeah, bye. See you later.
Bye. Yes, that was very nice.
Hey, and if you missed any one of our interviews, including that one, you can go way back and find it in the podcast.
Yep.
Check out the entire interview on demand section of the Sedano Show podcast brought to you by Capital One Venture Card. When you earn unlimited double miles on every purchase, your next trip is closer than you think. What's in your wallet? So let me sell you real quick because we only have 4.5 minutes
All
here.
Right, okay.
All right, 1 through 16. Here's what I'm selling you on.
Do it.
The chance of Lakers Clippers in the final. You're the NBA. You get LeBron in the finals, which is big, and you get the one team that's given him a little bit of a challenge, right, during the regular season. The clear enemy, right? And you've eliminated Giannis because the Clippers would have eliminated Giannis in that situation.
What would the seeds be?
It would be
Milwaukee 1.
Yes. Lakers 2, Toronto 3, Clippers 4.
Oh.
So you would have Milwaukee Clippers in a Final Four versus Toronto Lakers, which means that if you eliminate Milwaukee, that means Giannis isn't signing the extension more than likely. That's just a guess. But he would probably test free agency the following offseason, which would mean big things for the NBA. So that in itself is a reason we should all be rooting for 1-16. You get the best possible finals matchup, and Giannis may hit free agency.
You root for the story, right?
I do, all day, every day.
Right. I really do like Giannis in Milwaukee. Like, I hope he stays, but it is for our business. Like, I hope we have like some real drama because we need some real drama. Okay.
Yeah.
So I root for the story. right. We always do that. Yeah. Okay. It's a good pitch. I like it. It only works because Toronto happens to be the 3 seed ahead of the Clippers. So that it does line up that way.
Right.
I just keep coming back to this idea of like, I don't like introducing even more change. I don't think it's right. I think this year is already so messed up that it's not fair to any of the teams involved, especially those at the top of the standings, to do that. Like, that's why I don't like the play-in for 7-10, because I don't think it's fair to 7-8.
No,
like
those guys, right. I don't think it's fair to 7, for sure.
Yeah.
I don't think it's fair to 7. Real quick on baseball. The Associated Press is reporting that in addition to its reaction on the economics, the union, as in the Major League Baseball Players Association, said, quote, the sides also remain far apart on health and safety protocols aimed at starting the pandemic-delayed season around the 4th of July. Now, why isn't that a bigger story? If you're the Players Association, that's what you should be pushing. Stop arguing about money in public.
I got to be honest. There's no way they're playing on the 4th of July. It is May 27th. Okay? You need way longer than basically 4 weeks of spring training. I mean, they stopped spring training, so you're basically going to have to restart. Even if guys have been staying in shape, like, that's going to be – you can't rush spring training. So I don't know how the heck they would get to – they've already taken too long with this to be thinking about 4th of July, which means every day that goes by, there's less than 82 games that you're talking about. And it's putting more pressure on the players union, putting more pressure on the owners. Like, it's terrible stories. Like, and if you're far apart in health and safety, I don't believe that. I've heard some different things about the health and safety issues. Okay. I think one of the things one of the big challenges for baseball is that they're talking about home markets, which then involves a lot more people and a lot more risk because you're not going to do the bubble for six months, right?
Yeah.
So that's the big challenge. But I've heard that there is other types of testing that they are waiting on. Like, I think you know, in this country, there's right now we have testing that can be done rapidly, but it's not as accurate. There's some new testing that I've heard just in the last couple of days that we're kind of weeks away from that might be more accurate and rapid testing that I think baseball's waiting on.
Well, let's talk about that next Wednesday and then talk to Katie Nolan, too, and just shoot the bleep. Yeah. And maybe it'll be booty day next week. You never know. I mean, it's been booty day.
And a story about porn stars. What a show.
There you go. Thanks to Greg and Laura and Tim McMahon for stopping by. Momo, you're the best. Thank you.
It's booty day.